You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The Hot New Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically-based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
All right, well, welcome to QLJNRadio.com. You have tuned in to the Final Authority. I am your host, pastor and teacher Everett Robinson, known as Ambassador. This show airs live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what we're going to do, we're going to continue in our series on part two. We'll be closing out today, part two, on dealing with how to deal with temptation. How to deal with temptation. Now, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, you want to call the number 914, that's the area code, 205-5481. Again, the number to call if you have a question or you want to make a comment or express a different view than the host, then call the area code 914-205-5481 and then press the number 1 after you're dialed in. My producer will connect you to my line. Just to update you, we are having a few little difficulties, technical difficulties, but if you call in, they'll work with you and get you in my line, and we'll welcome you to our show, The Final Authority. Well, what we want to do, we want to go right into a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the word of God concerning how to handle temptation. All right. Well, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We give you glory, Father, for being God unto us, Father unto us, our provider, our giver of life, Father, our source. We thank you and we give you glory, Father, for watching over us, blessing our going out and our coming in. And, Father, we confess the Lordship of Christ. We honor Christ, your beloved Son. We embrace him as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. We honor him, and thus we honor you. We exalt Christ. We embrace you, Lord Jesus. We believe on you. And, Father, we ask you to grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of your word. We ask, O God, your word would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us to and for the glory of Christ. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, we're going to do a recap, as it were, of what we covered on the week before in dealing with temptation. And one of the things that we had shared with you is that temptation is common to man. We all are tempted. And as long as you are living on this earth, you're going to be tempted with something, by something. By some means, you're tempted to do something. And so what we did, we had defined temptation, and so we want to define temptation again and make sure we're on the same page as when we say temptation, what we're talking about, okay? One of the foundational texts that we used was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where Paul writes to the body of believers in the city of Corinth, and he says, "There hath no temptation taken you or that hath come your way that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So we see, based upon the authority and revelation of the Holy Scriptures, as we see through the writings of Paul, that temptation is common. We know it's common. Temptation. So it's not wrong. It's not a sin to be tempted. So we all are tempted. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your financial status, your physical status, your social status. what have you, whatever your status may be. It's common to be tempted. Temptation, we define it as an attraction to act contrary to reason, sound doctrine, and or the word of God. It is to be put to a test, to put you to a test, all right? And so there's different aspects of the word test, okay? One defines it as an enticement to use your God-given abilities and talents and gifts contrary to the will and the word of God. So, temptation. Temptation here in the context we're using is actually a spiritual warfare. And one of the things that we dealt with was we dealt with the first temptation that we see as recorded in Scripture. When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. And while there, there was a serpent that was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the very tree that God had commanded Adam. He said, Adam, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So God had said, listen, you can freely eat of all the trees. These I provide for so much provision, but there's one prohibition. That tree right there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. The day you eat of that tree, there's going to be a death. There's going to be a separation, Adam. And so we saw and went over the text of Scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 3, where God had caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. That was in chapter 2, where God caused Eve to fall upon Adam, and opened up his side, and he pulled out a rib, as the King James Version says, closed up his side, and from that rib, God, by his sovereign power, his omnipotent power, he created a woman, and he brought the woman unto the man. And when Adam saw her, he said, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. She's now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And so they had relations. So God brought the first union between a man and a woman. That's Adam and Eve. And so God was the one that performed this union. And so this is instituted and established by God. So Eve is in the garden there with her husband by the tree. And the servants begin to speak, not to Adam, but directly to Eve. And asked her the question, did not God say you should not eat of the trees of the garden? And Eve replied, well, no, God said we can freely eat of the trees of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This one right here, God says not to eat of it, neither shall you touch it, she added that part, lest you die. All right, so the serpent then proceeds with his temptation. Well, God does know that in the day you eat thereof, you shall not surely die. What he said was, you shall not surely die. You are not going to die. God knows in the day you eat of this tree here, this very one that God said don't eat of, oh, man, it's going to be all right. There's nothing wrong with eating of this. You will not die. And the Bible says when the woman saw the tree, that it was pleasant to the eye. There's a lot of things that appear to be pleasant that really appear to be. I started meditating, thinking on this. I started thinking, wow, this is what the whole world's about. It is an appealing to your appetite, to your eyes, an appeal to your emotions and feelings to get you to cater to something, you know. And it could be something good, but also could be something bad, okay. And so here in the context here, it's bad because now the serpent is contradicting the very word and the will of God for Adam and Eve. And so she saw it was a tree that was pleasant to the eyes. See, just because something seemed pleasant and looked good, it doesn't mean it's good for your spirituality, for your spiritual growth and advancement, for your growth and development in your walk and relationship with God. And so here, she saw it was a tree, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, that tree was always there, it was always pleasant to the eyes. All right. But now she now have a desire for something now based upon what the enemy said. Oh, you will not die. God does know that the day you eat thereof, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, in other words, there's something you can get more out of this other than what God said. And it's a temporary satisfaction for a flesh that'll bring destruction. But the enemy not going to tell you that. He's going to tell you what he wants to tell you to lure you in so that you can go against God, go against the will of God. This is a temptation. So now it's an attraction now to go contrary to sound reasoning, because she knew it was contrary to what God said. So she said what she said at the very beginning. She ended up partaking of the fruit. She took of the fruit. She ate it, and she gave also to her husband with her. So this is what we have, the first temptation and the first yielding of temptation. From that point on, mankind has been tempted and been tempted ever since. And so now we're dealing with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He says temptation is common, so there's nothing wrong. See, every one of us is tempted. You might be tempted with something that is not even a temptation to me. I'm not tempted with alcohol. I'm not tempted with drugs. That might be very tempting. Somebody might have some real issues of being around alcohol or drugs or whatever. Okay? So, but there might be something that's tempting to me that might not be tempting to you also on the other hand. See, so there's different areas of the, and here's the thing. The enemy, he's the old serpent called the devil and Satan. The Bible said he deceiveth the whole world. He studies humanity. He knows just what causes you to tick toward whatever it is that you tick toward, because he knows you. He knows the human nature. And what he does, he studies you. He knows your background. He's very familiar. This is what the enemy does. And he's doing all that he can in the most subtle way, in such a subtle, enticing way, to lower you into a lifestyle and or a way or in a direction for your life that is contrary to the revelation and the authority of God for your life. That's a temptation. And we're all tempted. So we're going to be tempted. Christ was tempted. We shared with you out of the book of Hebrews 4:15 that Christ was tempted in all points, as we are. The difference is he was without sin. We have sinned. Okay, it doesn't mean we sin every time we're tempted. There's temptations that I resisted and overcame. There's temptations that I end up yielding to. I didn't always overcome. And so there's things that I still have to fight every day against certain temptations. You have to fight. So there's nothing wrong with the fight, because God says we are in the fight. The Bible tells us in the book of Peter, where it says that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Well, he can't deliver you out of it if you're not in it. All right, deliver you out of it. So God knows just when to deliver you out of. But the thing about it is, there's temptations that sometimes you go and you end up tempting your own self with your own flesh. You know that certain places you shouldn't go because you know what's going to go down when you get there. So then you go into the temptation, and all you're going to do is succumb. And so there are certain things and certain places you shouldn't involve yourself with, because you know the weaknesses of the flesh, because that's what it is. Okay? Now, we dealt with the temptation of Christ. How did Christ handle temptation? We shared with you also out of the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Christ was tempted, when the enemy came to him, Christ responded to the temptation of the enemy. It is written. So Jesus always fought temptation off with the word. And this is how you're going to have to overcome. It's a true fight. It's the fight faith. And you have to fight to keep your faith intact, to remain steadfast and consistent in your faith in the word of God, standing on the word of God, because the enemy is going to do all he can to lure you into things that is contrary to the authority and revelation of God. He's going to attract you. Things that seem to be attractive to your sensory perception, to your mood, to your feelings, to your emotions. For an example, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, referring to the Holy Spirit, had clearly spoke through Paul and said that in the latter times, that's the times in which we live, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, he said, some shall depart from the faith. There are some people that will be enticed by these seducing spirits and seduce you to depart from the standard of the authority of the Word of God. You know that where you go and what you are doing, what you are saying, how you are acting is unbecoming as a believer in Christ. But notice what he said. He said, some shall depart. Not all, some. Why? Because there are some things that are going to seduce you in your mind and emotions to cause you to act on the lower depraved nature and not act in obedience to the Word of God, not act in obedience to a life that's yielded to the Spirit to glorify Christ. So these are things that we go through, things that we face. So, again, he says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in a lot of times, some shall depart. Now, you don't have to be a part of the some that depart. They depart because they choose, watch this, giving heed to seducing spirit, giving heed to. That means you're giving attention to these spirits. These spirits operate through people and also your emotions. This is, I can see why Paul makes a statement when Paul talks about fruit of the Spirit. And then one of the fruit of the Spirit, he mentioned the last one, he says, is temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is. So the result of a life that is yielded to the Spirit is temperance. Temperance is the discipline of your fleshly appetites, which includes emotions. Because some people just, appetite, it can be any kind of appetite. People have different kinds of appetites for different things. Power, money, sex, whatever it may be. Okay? So, food, whatever it may be. And so you have to discipline your appetite. You have to have a good sense of balance and control here. Well, if you use it to the Spirit, you're going to have what is called the fruit of temperance. All right? Some people, believers, see, they'll praise God, they'll dance, they'll shout, but they'll have a problem with overeating. Why? You see, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God leads you to a balanced life. To balance out even in your eating habits, your lifestyle, your dietary intake. I don't just eat any and everything. I try to have a balance. I try not to eat too much. I try to stop at when I'm just had sufficient. Stop right there. Don't go no more. You know, have a balance. And so you're tempted. Some people will do comfort eating, impulse eating. Oh, the food is there. They eat it because not that they're hungry, not that they need anything at that time. They just eating because the food is there. That's the temptation, all right? Some folks just keep eating till they're over full, all right? Temptation, food. So again, a life yielded to the Spirit results in the discipline of your fleshly appetites. Now, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So here, he's talking about the controlling of your body. The body have all kinds of motions, impulses, feelings, all these things. I keep under my body. I keep under and bring it into subjection. Why? Because you get these impulses and feelings about going certain places, doing certain things, acting certain ways that you know. And Paul said, I keep under. This is something you have to keep for the rest of your life until you leave this your body and go be with the Lord. This is an everyday fight. So it says, I keep 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken, I believe about verse 27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You have to bring it into subjection. Why? You have to exercise authority to control your body because your body wants to just let go, get wild, and do what it wants to do. All right? So fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, absolutely no. The temptation is there. But as a believer in Christ, who has the knowledge of the word of God, who have understanding of the will of God, it's imperative and very important and vital that you make a stand and not compromise. If you have, you need to make the adjustments to get back in order. So, again, dealing with temptation, it's common to the human race. You're going to be tempted, and you might be tempted every single day. There might be a day when you might not have a temptation. I don't know. But for the most part, you're going to be tempted because it's common to the human race. Now, again, we have shared with you before, Christ, when he was tempted, he fought the temptation off with the word. Now, if you don't have the word, you can't fight it off. How are you going to overcome temptations if the devil and demons are enticing you and bringing you to these attractions and baiting you and luring you and seducing you into these things? How are you going to fight it off? Because the flesh, I don't see nothing wrong with it. It's like it's pleasant to the eyes. It's to be desired. Some people will give in to something because it's fast money. You know, I really hate to have to say this, but there was a body of believers, and they were really, really shouting and really excited about the homes they got. Oh, they got their three-bedroom, four-bedrooms, and two car garages, and got all this stuff, and got all this money and everything. And they were just shouting, just dancing, testifying, and they was rejoicing in those material things. Now, there's a difference between rejoicing in Christ. I rejoice in Christ because of who Christ is to me and what he has done for me on the cross. That's why I rejoice. Paul says, God forbid that I glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I glory in the cross of Christ. So anyway, these believers, a number of them, they were just testifying how good God is and how they were so blessed. And come to find out, every last one of them lost all their homes because the person was doing some corrupt stuff. And they end up not really telling the truth about their paperwork, and it was a quick fix, and they all lost their properties. Now, what happened? Are you still rejoicing? Are you still dancing and shouting? Well, God is still good. God is faithful. You got something in a corrupt way, and then you want to say, God bless you. No, God don't bless you that way. You gave in to a temptation to get something that you knew that because it seemed attractive, and you know it was an attraction to do something that's contrary to sound reasoning. And you knew that going that route and the way, because see, I was offered something. I didn't go for it. I was offered property, house, all this stuff. And I chose not to go that route because something, they offered me a whole lot. When I say a lot, well, it wasn't $2 million. I was going to tell you, I can't do it. Now, if the offer sounded attractive, it seemed to be tempting, but I knew something was wrong. Others fell for it. So the enemy will always come with something that is attractive. He don't come, I'm the devil, this is the consequences, and this is what you're going to get. How many people thought, you know, they just fail for something and end up messing up really bad and contracting a sexually transmitted disease, all because of the temptation? Oh, it seemed to be pleasant. It seemed to be okay. Oh, come to find out you messed up really bad. So, again, it can be money, it can be sex, it can be food, it can be material things, it can be a lot of different things. And so it can be the temptation to steal something. No, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. All these things. Thou shalt have no other God before me. So when you start making someone else or others or other things a priority in the place of God, it's called idolatry, that you gave in to the temptation. So now here's the thing. We went over even King David, how King David was tempted, how he missed the mark. I think we talked a little bit about Joseph, how he was attempting to put to the test by Potiphar's wife. And she went to grab him and say, lie with me, young man, lie with me. And he would not lay down with her. When he said lie, that's more engaged, because this man is working for her husband, and she wants this young man. to get with her sexually. And so I guess he was trying to, over a period of time, see if he was falling, but he wasn't falling for anything. And finally, she just grabbed him, and he took off running. And sometimes you have to just run for your life. You have to run for your life. So there's times when maybe you have yielded to a temptation, and you look at it and say, oh, man, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't make this mistake. There's things you probably wish you could go back and undo because of the fact that you realize that, one, you used the things that was just not, you know, the will of God for your life. You messed it up. You messed up your family. You messed up your business. You messed up a number of things in your life. You wish you could undo it. Well, some things you can't go back and undo, but what you can do is repent, confess your sin to God, and get back on track and walk up right before God and do the right thing. Because God's grace is with you. See, you messed up. It doesn't mean because you yielded to a temptation and thus sin, it doesn't mean that God loves you less. It doesn't mean that he kicks you out. No, God wants to work with you. God wants to, he'll chasten you and bring you back. But you have to have a willingness to come to repentance. God doesn't make you repent. You have to willingly to repent. So that's something you have to humble yourself to do. Now, the challenge is, are you willing to accept God's call for you as a believer who yielded to temptation? You messed up. I don't know what it is that you have done. Whatever it is, you messed up, and you messed up big. You messed up royally. Well, God's word is eternal. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you don't want to justify what you have done or what you are doing. If you truly have a repentant heart before God, if you truly have a humble heart before God, then you go before the Lord and you confess your sins. If we confess our sins, well, first of all, you have to acknowledge that there must be a sin. Because if you don't see sin as sin, and God calls a thing sin, then you're not in agreement with God. Whether you see something wrong with it or not, if God calls it sin, and you know a conviction of your heart, see, the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you can't do it in faith to the glory of Christ, and you proceed to do it, it's a sin. See, we think of sin as something all black, everything is all black and white. You know, oh, I wouldn't kill somebody, that's a sin. Oh, I stole something, or I wouldn't commit adultery or fornication. I wouldn't just, you know, lie, you know, all these things. Okay, yes, although that's blatant sin, I went and I sowed seed to discord. Yes, okay, that's it, sin. All right, right. I went and crossed stripes. Yeah, that's a sin. We're going to take a break. We're going to pick back up on this. We're going to take a break. Stay tuned into the show. And again, if you have a question, call in after the break, and my producer will connect you to my line. We'll see you after the break. Stay tuned in to The Final Authority.
Amazing day.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Hey, man, thank you for staying tuned in after our station break. QLJNradio.com. This is the Final Authority, your host, pastor and teacher Everett Robinson. Well, will of God be done and Christ be glorified? We want to say that the Word of God is the final authority. I'm not the final authority. My ministry is not the final authority. Church building is not the final authority. Popes and bishops and pastors, that's not the final. The final authority is the Word of God. The Word of God is this, which we hold to. And we stand on the Word of God without compromise. Okay, let's pick back up while I'm leaving off that. So, again, temptation. So, the temptation, again, an attraction to act contrary to sound reasoning, sound doctrine, the Word of God. It is an enticement to use your God-given gifts, abilities, and talents contrary to the will of God for your life. That means you're willing to compromise, lower your standard to go against the revelation of God to do something to fulfill the desires of your flesh. We all have done that. If you have messed up, you have come short, you yielded to the temptation. You know you was wrong. You know you was out of order. You know the conviction of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit convicted you not to go there, and you did that, and now the Spirit of God convicted you to get it right, to come back to repentance and confession of your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ to get it right. So, again, the Apostle John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not only that, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the unright? See, anything that's not in conformity to the will of God for your life, God will cleanse you from it. Why? Because sometimes you can attach yourself to a thing or to a person or persons and get so involved in that that you now have bonded with that thing that has no standing with God. You know it's not right. But the scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. God wants to cleanse you. This is the work of God. I can't cleanse you from all unrighteousness, from any unrighteousness. I can't cleanse you. This is only the power of the blood of Christ does this. So the scripture says if we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Why? Because you have got defiled. You got spiritually dirty, if you would. He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So all unrighteousness are all he cleansed you. Why? Because that thing has got to, you got, there's something that got attached to you, and now you're, if you would, spiritually dirty, if you would. And so he wants to cleanse you from that spiritual dirt and loose you from that dirt. For an example, over in the book of Revelation chapter 1, let me quote the first few verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Note the words, washed us from our sins in his own blood. That word wash, it means to loose. He loosed us from our sins. Why? Because our sins had such a hold and grip on us. But we came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we've been loose from our sins. Now that you have come to Christ and you know Christ and you're walking with Christ, and then you end up being tempted and you know the standard and you end up yielding to the temptation, thus sinning, because something seemed to be attractive to you to act contrary to the will of God. You do so and you kind of bonded with that thing there. You got defiled, if you would. Now the Lord wants to cleanse you. So here's John. In fact, John says in verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, the scripture says that if we walk in the light, dealing with the light of the person of Jesus Christ, so you have in the light of Christ, who Christ is, what he's done for you by way of the cross, and so on, the power of his blood that was shed for you to redeem you, to brush your sins out. All right, so you walk in the light, and you're walking in that light, not in darkness, but in the light of Christ, because you heard the true gospel, and the glorious light of the gospel of shining in your heart. And you walk in the light, the Lord said, you have fellowship with the Father. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus Christ is the son of the Father God. So God the Father, watch this. You can fellowship with God the Father. And this is all about faith. It's not based upon emotions or feelings or impulses. This is a conviction of the reality in your heart, and it's by faith. And God has given you faith to walk by. So you're walking in the light of Christ by faith. In Christ and what Christ has done for you on the cross, and by you walking in that light, you'll be a study cleansed from sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we lie, okay? So we confess our sins. I confess that I have sinned. I confess that I've missed the mark. Well, God forgives you, and the blood of Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So anything, it doesn't matter what it is, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Whatever it is you may have got involved in, whatever it is you have yielded your life to, because what seems to be an attraction to you, you know in your heart by the conviction of the Spirit that you begin to act contrary to sound reasoning. You begin to act contrary to the sound teaching of the Word of God, enticed and gave in to a seducing spirit, all right? It was pleasant for the moment. You realize it's wrong. It's not in order. It doesn't glorify Christ. I don't have no peace in my spirit about it. See, the thing about it, the problem comes when you start trying to justify those things. So, but when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you. So if you don't confess your sins and you try to justify it and act like it's okay, ultimately it's going to take its course. And the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there's going to cause some problems that you ain't going to really, really enjoy at all. Best thing to do is receive the call of God to repent and line yourself up. Now, we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13. We dealt with that. We also, last week, we dealt in part one about the temptation of Christ. We went to that in detail. We shared with you out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that Christ was tempted in all points, like as we are. So we shared that with you. Again, knowing that temptation is common. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. So also, put to the test. Put to the test. So you sometimes people set you up just to test you, to try you. So the temptation, its origin is from the devil. He's called the tempter. In the first book of the Bible, Matthew, in the New Testament, we have chapter 4. It says, and when the tempter came to him, that's the tempter. Oh, he's coming with some temptation. The devil's coming to entice you. He's coming to make some things very attractive to you. All right, and it's going to always make an appeal to your flesh, not appeal to your spirit. not something that's for the glory of Christ, not something that's going to exalt Christ, not something that's going to build you up spiritually, okay? Now, I want to read 2 Peter chapter 2 because I did mention something about the writings of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Okay, now, notice it says, the Lord knoweth how to. The Lord has sovereign divine wisdom. He knows everything. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God will deliver you. He has a divine sovereign way to bring you out of that which you got involved in. He can deliver you out of temptation. Now, in 1 Corinthians, we did share with you that not only was temptation common to man, but it said God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted above your ability, but will, with that temptation, also make a way to escape. So he'll make a way to escape. That's his way of delivering you out. So God will allow you to be tempted, tested, and tried. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. And so sometimes there's the trying of your faith. There's also the temptation of something that seems to appeal to the fleshly desire. Because you get a testing of your faith. Well, the testing of your faith worketh patience. So sovereignly, everything is put in check by God before it gets to you, and God is allowing you to be tempted, tested, and tried for your growth and your development, for the advancement of your spiritual growth. How can you say you are an overcomer and you never tempted to have to be in a position to ever overcome anything? So you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. It's a part of everyday life. Every day. What you don't want to do is you don't want to set your own self up by going to places that's going to tempt you, that you know that is tempting, that you have had problems, issues with before. That's only setting yourself up for failure. So some places, for example, I deal with guys in a particular department, and they have issues where drug abuse is concerned and alcohol abuse. Excuse me. So they're in these classes. They cannot be around drugs and alcohol because they are what they call addicts. And what they'll do is it's almost like what you call a drive. And something that just overwhelms them, it's like they got to have that hit. They got to have that shot. They got to do it. And this is why they have to avoid being around certain things. Now, it doesn't bother me. I never had that temptation. I never had that issue. They had that issue. So that's an issue I don't have, but I might have another issue that they may not have. The fact is we all have issues we have to deal with. So you don't want to set yourself up to go places where you know, hey, you know what, that has been a problem for me. Now, if you got delivered from a thing and so freed from it, it is not even a temptation for you. All right, cause, you know, for example, I can shop at a store, and I'll go down the aisle, and right next to the aisle is where they sell a lot of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying alcohol, if to have a glass of wine is sin or a beer, whatever. All right. I personally, I don't drink. I don't buy wine or alcohol, anything like that, you know. I may have had a glass of wine before, you know, but I'm not a drinker. So, but it's not a temptation to me. But somebody else, they see that, it's overwhelming to them. So it's best for them not to go down that aisle. And it's definitely a situation where they need to avoid going to a what is called a liquor store where they sell liquor, you know. So, again, you don't want to be setting yourself up. Now, again, you're going to face temptations. You're going to face testing trials. You're going to have more of them. This is an everyday part of life. You want to get so grounded in the Word of God where you begin to exercise your faith in the Word of God. And you can get tired sometimes, but the battle can be very intense. Jesus did say that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, the flesh is weak. Well, I don't need to be going places where I know my flesh is weak, because I know my flesh going to do when I get there, because that's a work of the flesh. So Paul tells you in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22, I'm going to quote, I'm going to do it with the works of the flesh, and I'm going to do it through the spirit. So he says, in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a life in which you're conducting your life by yielding to the Holy Spirit, the result is overcoming the lust of the flesh, the passions and the cravings and the impulses of the flesh, that depraved nature. Then he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The works of yielding to the flesh is this. He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do or practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we see the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. So the Spirit, if you yield to the Spirit, the result is overcoming those things that are the works of the flesh. So if you use the flesh, you have all these things. The Bible says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if any of those categories in Galatians 5, verse 19, that you are yielding and yielding to, the scripture says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the word of God. I didn't write it. I didn't make it up. It's God's word, God's final authority to you and I. Then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. See, as a result of you hearing the gospel of Christ, coming to repentance and faith in Christ, and now that you yield to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit indwells you. You now are in the Spirit, and you yield to the Spirit. The result of a life that is yielded to the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. There's no law against those things. It's not against the law to walk in love toward people, to be at peace and be gentle and be kind and long-suffering. There's no law against having temperance in your life. But there are laws against the works of the flesh, and even try to justify some of that, but not before God. So if God says they will do such things, should not inherit the kingdom of God, then they should not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't determine that. God has determined that. So I just present as the messenger what God has said. Okay? Now, so again, know that God will deliver the godly out of temptation. That's God. He'll deliver you out of it. All right? So we're going to have it. We're going to experience it. But the fact is this. God wants you to grow into spiritual maturity where you stand on your two faith feet, as it were, and you stand firm in your faith in the word of God, that you submit to God, you honor the authority of God, you stand firm in your faith in what God has said, who you are in relation to Christ Jesus, knowing that not only are you forgiven, not only are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're redeemed by the blood of Christ, you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, you're sealed with God's Spirit, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you're joined to Christ, you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are foreknown of God, predestinated of God, called of God, justified, and glorified. You're raised up together with Christ. You are really blessed. And so now you're blessed. The fact is, the enemy wants to try to destroy your life. Anything that's in God's divine order, he wants to offer you the forbidden fruit. He wants to offer you the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the very one that God said, don't do it, don't do it. He's going to come tempt you, and he tempt you and test you and try you, and he's trying to get you to go contrary to God. He's trying to attract you to go contrary to sound reasoning and tell you to go contrary to the authority of the word of God. I say to you, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the word of God. So I want to say it's very important that you stand your ground. I'm going to encourage you not to give up and not to quit. You want to stay focused, be consistent, be diligent, and persist until you succeed. Another thing real quickly, we want to go over in James. We went over that on last week, and James says something that is very profound. I really like what James says. James chapter 1, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Because he talked about tests and trials, but also he talked about the word temptation is used in the King James Version of the Bible. And so, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. All right? So, blessed is the man. You're blessed. Blessed is the man that what? Endure temptation. So you're going to have to endure this. You can be tempted. You can be tested. You can be tried. Blessed is the man that endures testing. For when he is tried, you're going to be tried. He should receive a crown. Did you not know that God's going to crown you with blessing? When you as a believer endure temptation, he's not crowning you when you yield to temptation, when you are not standing on his word, when you start compromising and giving in to the dictates of the flesh. No, you're gonna miss out on this crown of life. God wants to crown you with blessings, but he will not crown you with blessings if you're yielding and going backwards to those old ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. This is the next verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. God doesn't tempt you with evil. God is not. God wants you to stand firm in your faith in the word. So God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust and enticed. So these things are coming to entice you according to your own fleshly desires. It's coming to tempt you, to put you to the test, to attract you to go contrary to sound reasoning, to go contrary to the revelation and authority of God's word for your life. But it says, so let the man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So you're tempted, but also you got caught up in your own lust. That's what Eve did. She saw it pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, and then she was drawn away and partook of the fruit, and then what? Death. So it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, when it takes its full course, when it's conceived, this planet, it bringeth forth sin. So the sin is there. And sin, when it is finished, it takes its course, brings forth death. That's the word. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Don't go into error. Do not err, my beloved. Do not go astray. So when you get off track and you start going that direction, you start yielding temptation, you're going in the way of error. All right, you're going astray. So I want to encourage you to stand your ground, stand firm in your faith in the word of God, use the word of God, submit yourself to God, endure temptation. God's going to make a way. He'll bring you out, but he's going to crown you with blessings, the crown of life. All because you endured temptation. That's God promised you that. That is the blessing of God on your life. Now, we're going to be closing in just a couple of minutes, but I want to say that the final authority we air live every Monday, unless otherwise indicated. Okay? Now, you can also go back and listen to previous archives. We have several teachings over the last couple of years. You can go down and click on anything that we have taught on previously. All right? Just go final authority. You can do that any day. But also remember, you can always call in, ask questions, make comments, or what have you. You know, if you want to express even a different view than what I'm presenting, that's fine too. We're open to hear from everyone, no matter where you are, no matter your religious belief or status. We're here just to communicate the biblical perspective of what God has revealed to us in the Word, the final authority. So we stick with the Word of God. Okay, so. We'll have another physical next week. We'll let you know what that will be. But stand your ground. And thank you for tuning in to Final Authority. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace and many blessings.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new Q. QLJN Radio. You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.